ever done falling in love. That's your testimony. In His arms I feel protected. In His arms never disconnected. No. In His arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be.
Here at the church, I'm going to try to put the words up here. I want you to help me out. We serve a great God this morning. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. How great is our God? We could just never praise Him enough. He's worthy.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty. Are one Father. is our God. Oh, how great is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. Oh, how great is our God. From age to age, he said,
we serve an awesome God. So thankful that he's in our midst this morning. Amen. If you don't know this, it's 137. Amen. Thankful for the power in the blood. Where would I be without the blood of Jesus?
Oh, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Wider, much wider. living flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And there is power, power. There's wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And would you do service for Jesus, your King? Power in the blood, there's power in the blood. And would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And there is power.
Brothers would come at this time to take the offering. We're doing things a little bit different this morning, but give us unto Jesus and He'll bless your giving. God bless you. I don't have the words for this, but just make a joyful noise. I think most of you know it.
My way gets brighter and my load gets lighter when I'm walking up the King's highway. Oh, there's joy in knowing with Him I'm going, walking up the King's highway. Me, His angels to guide me, walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven, and none can walk up there. Oh, but the pure in heart, it's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway, and if you're not walking, just start while I'm talking. We're walking up the King's highway, and there'll be a blessing you'll be possessing, walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven, and none can walk up there. Oh, but the pure in heart. It's a
you just remain standing for the lady.
Good morning, church. Sure good to see all of you out on this nice, cool morning. Trust you'll just enjoy the presence of the Lord. Let's read the 98th chapter of the book of Psalm. I thought it was really nice leaning over to Brother Nathan and said, that goes right along with that song that Brother Furman led us in here just a few minutes ago. 98th chapter of the book of Psalm. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory.
The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight.
He hath remembered his mercy, his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the voice of a psalm.
With the trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King.
Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein.
Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together. Before
the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. God bless you, saints. Please be seated.
Amen. God bless you richly this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord and to worship together. I know we're kind of doing things a little bit out of the normal routine of the way everything falls. We got to keep you guessing every once in a while, but There was some announcements and things that I wanted to make, as well as some prayer requests and that I wanted to share with you. So I'd ask Brother Furman if I could take the prayer requests and things today. First of all, I wanted to say I gave Brother Furman a hard way to go Wednesday night for getting the ages wrong, and then I got up and got them wrong the opposite way that he did. So the correct ages for the youth gym on Saturday is going to be 10 to 30. Single, never been married. I guess when I said 10 to 15 single, never been married, you thought we was in Arkansas or something for a little bit there, but usually you don't have to clarify that. Brother Layton said or West Virginia, so but it's ages 10 to 30 single, never been married for the Saturday gym. And also, of course, Monday and Tuesday, Brother John Sanger will be speaking for us in the evenings at 7:30. And Brother Andrew Glover, Wednesday and Thursday at 7:30 as well. And all of those, but Wednesday will be focused towards the youth. But you're all welcome to come regardless of your age. We will probably keep the first three or four rows reserved for the youth for those services, except for Wednesday night. And then as well on Friday evening, Brother Trevor will be speaking for us to the young people. And so we're certainly looking forward to that. And had a couple things on my heart for today to do to kind of start the youth services off. But before we get to that this morning, I wanted to share a testimony. Sister Cheryl Cody said, God healed my lower back pain. I had all day Wednesday giving God the praise and glory. So we want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. He's worthy of it. Praise the Lord. So we love when God comes on the scene and does something for his people. We know he's never lost a battle yet. He always comes through victorious. Sometimes it's not exactly the way that we had it figured out that we'd like it to be, but he always comes through on the scene at just the right time. And we've got several prayer requests this morning. Please continue to remember Brother Layton's family in Phoenix that are sick with the coronavirus. And please remember Sister Sarah Gaddy in prayer. She's having a bone biopsy on Thursday, so certainly want to remember that. And also Sister Colleen Dabney requested prayer for Hope. I believe it's Bema. She isn't feeling well, so want to remember her in prayer this morning. And my mom wanted us to request prayer that all of her tests come back good. On Tuesday, she goes to see her neurologist, and then she has several scans on Thursday to check the progress of how things are going with her, I'm gonna say, deliverance from cancer. They call it remission and things like that, but we're just call it deliverance because we believe she's gonna be completely healed. And so they're checking the progress on that. And also when I was in Delaware last week, Brother Jeff's church, Sister Juanita from his church, there in Delaware requested prayer for her granddaughter, Marissa. She's been diagnosed with Crohn's disease, so we want to remember that request. And then Brother Jimmy Ard requested prayer for Sister Patty Ard, and also an unspoken prayer request for himself. And then I got a text message from Brother Donnie Reagan yesterday requesting prayer for his daughter, Sister Erica Parker. The doctors found a tumor on her liver, and they're wanting to run some more tests and things on that. So we're just praying and believing. It seems like the enemy is just attacking everywhere that he can, but especially seems like the ministry and their families. And so we're just believing that the great physician will come on the scene and give her a touch from him. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Let's stand together before we go to prayer. And Brother John Sanger snuck in on me. I told him if he had let me know he was going to be here, I'd have had him preach this morning. He said, well, that's why I didn't let you know. So you got to watch these preachers. They're sneaky. But Brother John, would you come and take us to the Lord in a word of prayer, if you would, this morning? Come on up, brother, and we'll have you lead us in a word of prayer over these requests. Certainly appreciate our brother. He's got such a wonderful spirit. Appreciate his stand for this message.
Great physicians here. Amen. Heavenly Father, we lift our hands to you, Lord, and we can't do that without defying science and gravity, Lord. So we lift both our hands to you, petitioning you and asking you to come on the scene, Lord. Lord, we think back in times in our life when we had a need and you revealed yourself as a healer, and then you revealed yourself as a comforter. Revealed yourself as a savior, Lord. You're our need meter. So we don't know these people, Lord, that Brother Nathan's read their names, Lord. We heard their names, but Lord, we're so grateful that you're mindful of them. Your word says you're mindful of us, Lord. And when we're needy, you're mindful of us. And you looked down and thought on us before the foundation of the world. You elected us and called us to live today for you, Lord. So we dedicate this day to live for you, Lord. And we ask these requests, Lord, that these people have laid up here with faith, believing, Lord, that you can meet their need, Lord. So we ask you to guide the doctor's hands and guide the nurses that'll take care of them. Be with each one of these requests, Lord, their families and the ripple that'll be when they hear that they were healed. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor and all the glory for everything, Lord. We love you and we look forward to the further parts of this service, Father. We ask you to come now and, Lord, just walk up and down the aisles and speak to each one of us, Lord. We love you. We appreciate you. If we can do anything for you for the rest of the day, Lord, you just nudge us and tell us and we'll be quick to answer you and do what you feel you'd want us to do, Lord. May we be your feet and your hands today, your lips and your voice, Lord. We love you. Now come down, Lord, and just meet these needs now and just wash over the audience, Lord. Just wave after wave, we pray. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Help me sing this morning before we enter into the rest of the service. I think we all know it by now. Oh, it's a country where no twilight shadows deepen, and an ending day is where night will never be. Oh, it's a city where no storm clouds ever gather. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Understanding. wonderful. Amen. No more politics. Now, I'm not just talking government politics. No more message politics. And do you side with this brother or that brother? Or how do you feel about this doctrine or that brother? And it'll just be one glorious love with Jesus for eternity. Amen. Well, maybe we should start working further that way while we're on this side, instead of getting up with caught up with all the things that aren't going to be over there. But well, praise the Lord. I'm not preaching this morning, so I better stop. But you know, in preparation for the youth services, I'd had something on my heart for a while. And for the young people, I had actually got something that I planned on giving to them at one of the youth Bible studies. And it just never worked out exactly that way. But Wednesday night when I was preaching, and I got most of you, because my wife and Brother Hoover and Brother Trevor, I don't think even really noticed. So if they noticed, most of you probably didn't, but or if they didn't notice, rather. But I got to a certain spot there, and I was just preaching along, and I went off on what Brother Trevor calls a little tangent, a little sidearm there on some things. And when I did, I all of a sudden I just lost how I got there and what the point of that was. And so I stumbled around for about 5 minutes trying to get back there, and I couldn't remember where I was at, and wound up tying it in with Jairus's daughter because it kind of matched, and just went on with the rest of the service. And I beat my brains out trying to remember all the rest of the service and through the song service, and never could remember to get back to that point of what it was, and couldn't remember that night and the next morning. And so when the brothers got the service uploaded, I went back and listened. And what it was, I had went and I was talking about how if you could put all my thoughts up here for the past 20 years, or your thoughts or anybody's, you know, what a terrible that thing would be, that some of the things that the Satan has put through our minds to think and things like that. But with all of that, I'd been talking about the rich young ruler and how with all of our mistakes and things, I can honestly say that I've never did what the rich young ruler did. And that was, he got in the presence of Jesus, and because he didn't like the answer Jesus gave him, he went away discouraged. And I can honestly say, I don't think I've ever been in the presence of Jesus and went away discouraged. Amen. I've been in the presence of some people that I went away discouraged. And I've been in the presence of, now there's been some times when God's exposed some of my sins, and that discouraged me, but it was because of me that I was discouraged. Not because I realized what an idiot I had been, but not because of Jesus. But this man went away discouraged because something that Jesus had said to him. But by the grace of God, every time I get in his presence, I go away encouraged and not discouraged. And so I thank God for that. And so in thinking of the rich young ruler and along some of these things, and with this youth service coming up, I thought it'd be good for us to start that off with the sermon, Come Follow Me, that Brother Branham, I would say preaches, because he preaches, but he's not behind a pulpit. He's just sitting in a living room there in Arizona, in Tucson, and you can hear some of the younger children, things playing outside, and he's speaking to the older children that are getting ready to graduate that year, and some of them that had just graduated, and the parents had asked him to come and just give them some advice and things, and so I thought that'd be very fitting. It's not a very long tape, but it's packed full of a lot of good things, and not just for the youth, but for the adults as well. And so I'm going to ask Brother Caleb and Brother Aaron if they would come. I had got these to give out at the youth Bible study, so I don't have enough for the whole church, but I do have enough, I think, for all of our young people ages 10 to 30, single, never been married. So if you could raise your hands if you're in that age range, and let the brothers give you a book as they go around, and then that's as well, so that if you want, you can read that and take it home and study it. And I think it'll be a blessing. We should have enough for that age range, but I believe it'll be a good way to start off. And then we've got one of our young minister brothers. I won't tell you who quite yet. You'll find out tonight. But one of our young minister brothers is ministering for us this evening, Lord willing. So you come and just pull and come with expectations. And I believe God will just do something for us. And just looking forward to, as we start into these services this week. I know it's a lot of services, and you might not be able to make it to everyone. We understand that, work obligations and different things like that. But try to make it to the ones that you can. I believe it'll be encouraging to the young people, but not only to them, but to all of us as well. And I believe in this age of pressure and with everything going on, I believe God wants to do something for his people. And so I just pray that we'll get in the spirit and in the atmosphere to where he can speak to us. Now, this morning, I don't have to pray and ask, will God anoint the speaker? That's all I've got. Are you out? Okay. Brother Aaron's got a few more if you've got. Brother Aaron, I think he ran out, so you might have him help you find where he left off and pass out a few more. And You know, normally when I get up here, I pray, Lord, just anoint the speaker. But we recognize that the speaker was already anointed. We don't have to pray for God to come and anoint the tape. It was anointed back in 1963. But what we do want to pray is, God, just anoint our hearts to receive it and to open our hearts to that. And, you know, there's so many things. I want you to just notice as he goes along here talking to these young people, he's constantly pointing them to follow Jesus. And I believe that's, he said, that's the best advice he could give any young person. And I don't think, I'm not wanting to try to add to what he said, but that's not just the best advice you could give a young person, but any person, just to follow Jesus. We try to get them to, well, come to our church or come to this group or come to this doctrine or come to this way of life or whatever. But if they'll follow Jesus and really follow Jesus, he'll lead them to those things. And if we're not careful, we try to force something on somebody, a lifestyle or whatever it be, and we get them to a lifestyle. Well, that's good, but the Pharisees had got that far, and it didn't do them any good. They rejected the word when it came in flesh. So we want to follow Jesus as he leads, and he'll always lead us and guide us into truth. Amen. Let's sing Only Believe before we change the order of the service. Do you believe this morning? Only I believe we can sing it this way this morning. Jesus is here. He promised that he would be. Jesus is here. And all things are possible when Jesus is here. Oh, I know Jesus is here. Bless you richly. You can be seated this morning, and let's just listen attentively, and may the Lord just anchor the word down in our hearts this morning.
My, they said, who's this nut that turned in something like that? See, the head guy, you know. 10 cents for a breakfast. So that looks real cheap on the other fellows, you know. Some of them turn in a dollar. See, $2 for dinner, and I turn in just exactly what it was. Well, I said, well, no, there's no need of me turning in. What would I do if I just eat 10 cents? Mr. Fields, which is assistant superintendent, he said, Billy, turn it in a dollar anyhow. At least that's what the rest of them's doing. Said, you got to keep that together. Well, I said, I never eat, but just a little oatmeal, and that's what I charge for. I said, oh, don't never do that. Well, then I thought, what will I do with it? Then I charge 50 cents for breakfast, and then take 40 cents off. I want to spend it, get some kids on the street. Some kids, you know, look like they need a little sandwich, too. Well, I thought maybe I might have... right, that was the company itself talking to me like that. That's a man out of the company. So I thought, maybe I did something wrong. So here not long ago, with a patrolman, now they patrol the helicopters, you see. So he came by and stopped. He said, say, Brother Branham, said, this tree's growing. I said, yeah. I said, kids playing that out there. I said, can we top it? I said, yeah, but don't cut it down. He said, well, we'd like to cut it. We pay you for it. I said, no, don't want you to cut it. Well, I know the laws are right away, too, you know, because I was on it 7 years. And I said, no, I said, don't want to cut, but you can top it. I said, I keep it top, but I said, you can top it if you want to. I said, Brother Woods and I are fixing to top it. We top all these others along here. And I said, but we'd like to keep that there on account of the kids, Joe and them, you know, little fellas playing on that tree. I went away on a trip. When I come back, she sawed down and moved out. Ooh, what a suit that would have been on a company, you see, for cutting that tree, you see. And so I thought, now? And I said, Lord, I'm not going to even mention that, see. Whether if there is anything that I on that sometimes turning in only eating a dime's worth and have turning 50 cents, see. I said, if there is something on that, let that make it up, see, that I put that in, you see, and I quit dreaming about being a public service coming in, see, because it must have been something back in there. We have to watch what we do. We got to meet it someday. Kids, come over here. Your mother was over the day, Trudy. I guess you didn't know this. It's kind of a little surprise, I see. And you're fixed to graduate, and we've had this trip out here together, and I'll go into a meeting now, and immediately at this meeting, we're going home. I thought it would be a good chance to talk to you all, and then also thought it would be good to speak to the kids just a little bit before your graduation. Read a verse out of the Bible and just talk to you from my heart for about 10 minutes. I'll sit by your way, see. Before I talk to the kids, I'd just like to talk to the adults just a minute to all of you. It's been perhaps maybe a strenuous trip. It's been, but the experience that I've learned from God, I wouldn't take $10,000 for what I learned of the Lord since I've been here. I truly believe I come in full obedience to the command of the Almighty. And I hope I can ever remain that way. And there's when I come, one thing was by a vision that I was standing above Tucson up here when a blast went off. Well, Brother Fred was there when it went off. And they took a picture, you know, in the sky. And I didn't think much about it. I just never noticed it. So it began to impress me somehow to the day. And Brother Norma's father here told me, said, did you notice this? And just as I looked, right there was them angels, just as plain as they could be, sitting right there in that picture, see. I looked to see what it was, and it's time, same about day or two before, day or two after, I was up there. I looked where it was at, northeast of Flagstaff or Prescott, which is below Flagstaff. Well, that's just where we was at. Just exactly. 26 miles high, while vapor can't go over four miles high or five, moisture, any kind of fog or anything, you see. Planes fly at 19,000, has to get above all the clouds, you see, and 19,000 is about 4 miles high. And this is 26 miles high and 30 miles across it and in the shape of the pyramid, if you've looked at the picture. And on the right-hand side, as I told you, I noticed outstanding that angel. There he is, chest out, wings back, coming right in just exactly the way it was. I never noticed him when he first. There have been so many things. And coming down the road the other day, there was something happened that spoke to me about the thing that I must do. And it's not my message. At one time, Leo Mercer said, Brother Branham, the time will come after this, said about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 7, said, the Lord go to change your ministry, Brother Branham. And said, when he does, said, you'll probably just line up hospitals and speak them out of the beds and things. It didn't sound right, although I believe Brother Leo's trying to be sincere about it. But it didn't sound just right because, see, our Lord Jesus never did that. See, and he went into the hospitals. There was one in that hospital. Do you remember where it's at in the Bible? The Pool of Bethesda. Great multitudes of important people laid there, crippled, lame, blind, withered, waiting for the angel. Now that was in a spiritual hospital where people waited on divine healing. And here the divine healer himself came in and healed one and walked out. So you couldn't expect a mortal man or a ministry to come forth and be any greater than that was. I couldn't agree with it. But as I started to turn around, the Holy Spirit came upon me. I asked Leo for a pen. I got a piece of paper and I wrote it. It's in his trailer today, if you ever report that. It's that old Lumen trailer where I had the loading outfit. Just as you go in the door of the shelf on the right hand side, right in front of the trailer, laying under there. I laid that there. I said, someday you can pull this out. God will never change the ministry, but he'll change the man with the ministry. That's what's to be done. See, I know what I've got to do, But I can't do it in the condition that I am now, because I've got to, something's got to happen within me that'll take God to do it. We're aiming to go back home. Kids are homesick. All of them want to go back. So I'm figuring on taking them back, Lord willing, maybe after service Saturday. And go back. From there, I don't know. But I know as soon as that something happens within me to make me feel towards people different from what I do now, I had rejected the people, see. And I didn't want to have no more to do with them. You know what I mean? What I call Ricky and Ricketta. They had, the things that they had did, I'd preached with all the sincerity, and God had confirmed it in every way. And if they didn't want to believe it, well, let them alone then. I was going up to join up with Bud this coming fall. Start outfitting up there. Wait in the wilderness. Let my hair and beards grow out. And if the Lord wanted me to go anywhere, He'd send me a word and I'd go down and do it. But on the road coming in the other day, He stopped me. And I seen where what I was coming to. I'm on my road to something else now. And I thought when I got home, I'd make what we call a heart-to-heart talk. Maybe put it on tape. And then, and so that the public would see why the sudden change. Now, you kids, let's have a little word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for this time to know that we're assembled here, the young and old, and the middle-aged. And we have assembled this side of eternity once more to speak about You and about the things that pertains to everlasting life. These young ones sitting in here tonight, some of them are graduating, some has already graduated. But I realized, Lord, something had happened just a few hours before that great shock or great blast had taken place in the mountain up there north of Tucson, when the angels of the Lord came down. I remember what was said, and especially about the young people. I pray Thee, Lord, help us to understand, and may I be able to say something to these young folks tonight that'll help them along the journey. For Lord, we all need that help at this time. Bless us together, forgive our sins, and if anything that we've done since we've been out here that's displeased You, we pray You forgive us for it. For we realize today that we have no guarantee of tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We must be prepared today to meet tomorrow. And Father God, there's only one way that we know to do this, that's to prepare to see You. For by and by we realize that we are all going to do it, and we've got to meet it sometime. Either in peace, as a friend, or child, or as an enemy. Far be it, Lord, that we be anything else but Your own beloved children. Grant these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, while I was chopping weeds real early this morning, I found a place in the Bible I thought would be a good thing to read at this time. And it may not be too dashing appropriate, but I thought this for just a few minutes to talk. I'm going to read this out of the 18th chapter of St. Luke. All four gospel writers write of it. The 18th chapter and the 18th verse. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. He said, All these have I done, and kept them from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, He said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor. Thou shalt have treasures in heaven. come, follow me. I think the word come, follow me, that would be the best advice I could give if I was talking to 10,000 kids or if I was talking to just what I am. It's a command and the greatest thing that I think that was ever offered anybody, and especially a young person. Follow me. You're going to follow somebody. You can remember that. You're going to follow somebody. And the way you follow the person, be sure that who this person's following. See? Paul one time said, be followers of me as I am of Christ. In other words, just as I follow Christ, you follow me. And now, at this turning point, this stage of life where we all come, and many times you've heard me holler, Ricky, Ricketta, and things, it's the age that we're living in. It really isn't those people. Those people are people like we are. Those kids out here, these hot rods running up and down the street and carrying on the way they are, smoking cigarettes and drinking liquor, and girls dressed immorally and things, them's girls and boys like we are. See? They're human. They love, they eat, they drink, they sleep, they breathe, they gotta die. They're people just like we are. And yet they have been they've been possessed of an evil spirit. They don't know it. Not because of the people, but because sometimes some leader that they've been following have led them in the wrong road. Now you girls and boys know better than that. You know, you've been taught better than that. You've got better parents, sounder training than to do a thing like that. You know better. But they don't, see, because the churches that they go to are modern churches, modernistic, and they just live for the day, more popular, and all my what's the morals become virtue to them, see? So what is said one time in a play that I seen down here not long ago of Sodom and Gomorrah, that evil possessed woman said to Lot, what you call immoral, I call virtue. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So we're back to that place again. Let's look at this fellow for a few minutes that we read about. No doubt that this kid was born in a good home, like you kids are. He's brought up with good parents, because it proved it. When Jesus presented to him the commandments of God, he said, I've kept these since a youth. It showed that he'd been brought up right. He wasn't just a snatch out and, you know, he'd been brought up to know what's right. Kids like you all are. Probably come up under a God-fearing mother and daddy to teach him right when he was a kid. Well, that's good. Maybe as a little baby, his mother had high ambitions of him being a great man someday. His father's worth money that could school him and get him an education that he'd come out with a good education and be able to be something in the world. And with the sincerity of this mother and dad educating this kid, and perhaps come to his graduation time like you are. See, the time when he passed through his school and had his education. No doubt it perhaps was the pride and joy of that mother and daddy's life. No doubt in them days he had a fine horses like you have automobiles. And a good dad and mother like you all got that sees to each. You got good clothes and a car and can and just enjoy life. Just something like you have today. And the father and mother with the praying constantly that their son would not turn out just an ordinary man, that he'd be an extraordinary man. All parents want that. Did you hear Jesus refer to that commandment? Honor the father and mother and stop. Yeah. And that's the ambition of any parent, to do the best for their children that they can. Educate them. Give them things maybe that they wasn't able to get. That's what I feel about my children. I think sometime in going to school, I think send Becky and Sarah and Joseph into these high schools and things where all this go on is at. I think I'll take them and get back into the mountain and raise them up there like the Indians live. But here's what it is. What's in the kids going to come out? No matter where it is, it's going to come out. If it's evil in there, it'll come out in the Indian camp. If it's good in there, it'll come out in any camp. See, it's what's in the kid, the makeup of the kid. What's on the inside of you, and what you are now is what you'll probably be the rest of your life. You're on the changing spot. Do you know what? 86% of the conversions to Jesus Christ is done before 21 years old. Shows the statistics shows it. 86% that come to Christ come before they're 21. If you pass that age, you become more molded or set in your ways. Well, it's possible, sure, they come 70, 80 years old, but it's very rare. You make yourself when you're young. You set your ambitions to what you want to do and what you're trying to achieve in life. You think of it. And as you think, of course, your mind is presented into your mind by an unknown something, and it dominates your mind. And then when it becomes in your mind, then you speak it that you're going to do it, and your ambitions drive you to it. So mother and father expecting this young man to, his ambitions to be great, enough money to carry it out. And then no doubt prayed that this young lad would get that opportunity. You see, they had done all they could do. He'd maybe having fine horses, and maybe he's very popular amongst the women, and if what would go for a man would be for a woman, vice versa. See? Because we're talking about human life, souls, both men and women. And then, after all this opportunity the boy had, see, he become on Easy Street, we call it. On a place where he didn't have to worry about too much. His parents had money. He become a ruler. The Bible refers to it here as a young, rich young ruler. And we see him at a young age, maybe in his teenage, just out of school, just out of graduation, maybe a few weeks before, so he become he's a ruler. And he had all that hearts could desire. And the boy wasn't no modern Ricky. He's a fine kid. I believe when Luke wrote about it, or Mark, I believe it was, Jesus looked at him and sighed because he loved him. There's something about the kid. There's a nice personality. Hook with this kid. Where'd he come from? I have a nice family who taught him the commandments of God and seen that he kept them. And he did it from his youth up. And the boy had an ambition. He wanted eternal life. He said, good master, what could I do to inherit eternal life? See, with all you got in the world, yet the soul on the inside of you tells you there's something that you need, that you haven't got, just by wealth, or it always had to be wealth. It could be pop or some pretty girl. She's got her beauty that she can think of. Maybe she's very popular in school. Maybe the boy can get any girl he wants. He feels that he's kind of secured. That's not security. That'll fade just like the flower in the field. See, it'll go. It won't be long. Just a few turns of sun, that's gone. Then you've got a soul that has to live eternally. And this young kid must have had a nice personality, because he presented himself to the Lord Jesus knowing he bowed upon his knee. He said, good master, what could I do to have eternal life? He said, why do you call me good? He said, well, you know there's only one good, and that's God. See, what the young man expressed in this, that he was God. See? He said, thou knowest the commandments, keep them. He said, what commandments, master? He said, the commandments of honor the father and mother and so forth. He said, this I've done from youth up. See, I've did this. He said, yet you're lacking one thing. Go sell what you have and distribute to the poor and follow me. What an opportunity. That could have been Peter, James, or John, one of them. See, the kid had been trained and brought up right and been presented to Christ to use him and all the potential that he had in him to use, probably educated, young, rich, influence, where he could have presented the gospel and yet turned it down. What a rational thing that was for that young boy. See? Follow me. Now, see, he had to follow someone. Now, he had to either follow the influence of the people he's associated with, the influence of some young lady, some influence of a gang of boys that he was associated with, his colleagues in school, or follow Jesus Christ. In all of his goodness, yet he knew he didn't have eternal life. Kids, that's what you got to think about. See? Now look at the boy tonight. What he could have been and what he is. What he is tonight, he's somewhere. He was a man. He's somewhere. He's waiting a judgment. He's waiting to face the judgment of that day, turning down the same opportunities presented to you kids, almost under the same circumstance. Fine kids, good personality, fine fathers and mothers, what you have, don't even have to work unless you want to. See? But there's something else that goes with that. And something goes with that. That word tonight never dies. It's still a challenge to every young man, every young woman. Follow me. See, words don't die. Whenever you speak anything, just remember, whether it's in your car in the secret, whether it's in the pulpit, whether it's down the street corner with your boyfriend or girlfriend, wherever it is, it never dies. It's got to live forever. And I seen that girl that the other night in the vision, a young, pretty girl, a Hollywood actress, and I seen her dying, reaching, trying to get to help, and she died in a heart attack, Miss Monroe. And then, that's been 2 years ago, and I seen her dying. And 2 days later, she did die. And then the other night, I heard that girl's voice. How? The kids have been telling me, Daddy, you go down that river, no return all the time. Said they got a play like that on tonight. They told me a certain night it would be on, a week or two ahead of time. And I thought, well, I want to see that because I've been down that river two or three times, about five times, I think. But I went to see it, and Miss Marilyn Monroe acted that out. Well, that was the girl I saw in the vision. And there she was in picture. And the actions, the very act that she made on the River of No Return, when she took that picture perhaps 15 years ago, it was an old picture, maybe 20 years ago. And she's been dead 2 years, and there she is again alive. Every action and every word. See? It's still so caught in magnetic tape until it's alive again. Not only that, but everything that we say is alive. Every word that we speak cannot die. Coming through the room is words now, forms of people. Television picks it up. You can speak right here and they hear you around the world. That same second, even before you can hear it in this room, it goes around the world. By electronic. And God's great screen picks that up. And every move and every act that you make, you've got to meet it at the judgment. See? So, young fella, it's a good thing to stop. Think about these things, see, because you're going to meet it again. See? Let's trace this young man, the opportunity he had, and put yourself in his place. And a girl the same as this, Becky and Marilyn. Just the same as you stand in his place and you can hear that voice which is still alive. It's still alive. It's still moving. Science says in 20 years from now they'll pick up his literal voice that he spoke 2,000 years ago. It's still alive, like a pebble dropping in the ocean. The wave never ceases. It goes to the shore thousands of miles and turns back. When a voice is once spoken to the air like that, it never dies. There ain't nothing you say at the judgment. It's right there. There will be the voice of Jesus Christ bidding that young man, follow me. And him turning away on the screen, sorrowful because he had great possession. See, it might not always have to be money. It can be other things. See, anything we hold dear, then we do that call. See, it becomes lack of money to us. It becomes something that corrupts us. Now, let's follow him a little bit. What happens when he turns away? He didn't listen to that voice of Christ. He went with his friends, which you kids, You're all fine kids, and you're bound to have friends. But watch what kind of friend you have. If that friend's following Christ, go with that friend. Follow Christ too. But if it don't do it. Let's look at it. We find out he perhaps kept his friends. He became a great ruler. He was a ruler then. Later we find him so prosperous until he had to build extra barns to put his stuff in. And then he said to himself after he got old and the cares of young life and things has passed, all he done maybe was entertain. When an old man or an old woman like me, my wife, your mothers and dad, there isn't hardly anything that they can think of. They don't want to get out and run up and down the streets, you know, as young fellows would and young women. Dates and who's going to be your wife or your husband. See, they don't have that in their mind. They got children. They're interested. That's going to be you all tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow. And see, the fellow then with maybe he never even got married. And however, he was a great ruler. And he set up on, and as it is in Jerusalem yet today, they eat on the housetop this time of day when it's cool out in the evening. And we find another character pictured with him, a beggar. And the man from being raised to honor the neighbor and do unto others as have others to do unto you. See, by rejecting that call of Christ, finally, looked like a boy had been raised in a home like that, that would never got away from him, but it did. It did. And there laid a man at the gate by the name of Lazarus, begging him for food. And vainly he would have eat the crumbs that he swept off, not even to the beggar, but to the dogs. And was full of sores. But the man had been so polished in society then, he had no more feelings. He'd become numb because he'd rejected that offer of Christ. And maybe one evening this time, making his toast with fine wines and lovely women's jeweled around him and things like that, with all his hearts could desire, and toasting a beggar laying at the gate, and before daylight dawned the next morning, he was in hell screaming for that Lazarus to come put water on his tongue. The change of the scene. And you notice, when he said, Father Abraham. Now, he still remembered that Abraham was the father of the Jews. He said, Father Abraham, send that beggar, Lazarus, down here with a little water on his fingers to put on my lips. These flames are tormenting. And he said, and Abraham said, I can't do that. In so many words. And besides all this, you see, you had your opportunity in life. When did he have it? When Jesus said, follow me. But he turned it down. He went the way that he could make money, and that's all right, nothing wrong with making money. But follow Jesus while you're doing it. See, and he went the other way with the crowd. And you find out, he said, and Abraham said, and besides all this, there's a gulf fixed between you and he, that no man has ever crossed over and never will. Them that are there cannot come here, and these here cannot go there. It's been fixed. No man has crossed or will cross. Then listen to him. He wants to be an evangelist then. The call that Jesus had given him to follow him had, and to be a soul winner as a young man, returned to him again. He remembered it, that he had five brothers and back on earth, and he didn't want them in that place. He said, send Lazarus then back to tell my brothers not to come this way. In other words, accept the call to follow me. But he said, they won't do it. He said, yes, if one would raise from the dead, like Lazarus, and go back and tell him, you see, it shows that after we die, you're still conscious. He remembered. Abraham said, son, remember in your days. See? You still remember. You don't lose your memory. You remember. And the memories that man could have, and still in the same place, remembered the opportunity he had of hearing Jesus say, follow me. But he followed the wrong person, the wrong crowd. He got in the wrong crowd and went to the wrong place. End up in the wrong eternity. Be annihilated at that day from God forever. Jesus also said a great striking word. though one raised from the dead and go back, yet they would not be persuaded because they've got Moses and the law. And if they won't hear that, then they won't hear, though one would be raised from the dead, they will not be persuaded. Why? Why did the law speak something like that? Yes. Do to others as you'd have them do unto you. And he had lived under the law. But he let the beggar die at the gate. See? He lived under the commandments of God and yet failed to see that great eternal life. Kids, each one seem like mine. You each one seem like it's my sons and daughters in one way you are. Spiritually speaking. That's right. The Lord God has put your souls into my care because you come listen to me, you believe me. And in one sense, the words, you are my sons and daughters. That's right. Always remember, keeping the commandments of God is a great thing. Being raised in a good home is a heritage from God. And to be fine kids with personalities as you have, good. Wonderful to have an education. It's wonderful to even live in this free land. We got many things to be thankful for, but there's one thing that you just don't inherit. You've got to accept it. That's eternal life. And you only do that by following Jesus, by a born-again experience. Don't neglect that. A little story one time I heard of a man who was poor, and he always wanted to, it's a little fairy story like, it always stuck with me though. And one day he picked a flower, and the flower was magic. And the flower answered to him and said, "You've been poor all your life?" He said, "Now ask what you will, and it'll be given to you." He said that yonder's mountain would open up, and I could go therein and find the gold in the mountain. Well, he said, "You will have to take me with you wherever you go. See, you'll have to take me with you. So wherever I am, then you can ask what you will." He walked to the mountain, and the mountain opened up, and he went in, the shells was full of gold and diamonds, as the little fairy story goes. He laid the flower down on a table or a rock, and he run and grabbed a great big gem. And he said, "I must go show this to my friends. And now I'm a rich man. I have everything now. I must show this." And so the flower spoke and said, "You have forgot the main thing." So he runs back and picks up, said, "Well, maybe I'll get a piece of gold. I'll get a piece of silver." And so he said, I'll hurry out to tell the people how rich I am, what all I've got." And he got to the door, and the flower said, "But you forgot the main thing." So he runs back again. He said, "In here we find all kinds of materials." So he picked up a stone. He said, "I'll go take this stone and show the people what kind of a stone this mountain's made out of so I can find my way back to it." See? And he started out the door, and the flower said, "It's final time, you have forgot the main thing." Oh, he said, "Oh, shut up." See, he didn't want to hear it anymore. Forgot the main thing. And he ran out the door. And when he did, the door closed behind him with the flower on the inside. The main thing was the flower. See, the main thing was the flower. Years ago, as a kid, as you all are, here cattle ranch above here, above Phoenix. I was reading a piece of a paper about a prospector. Then there was no roads through here, then just little sand paths. They still do a lot of prospecting in here, you know. But this prospector had come in and he found a lot of money and he struck a lot of gold, and on his road in, he stayed in a cabin he'd found, and he had a dog with him. And the dog he tied up on the outside, and that night had been an outlaw following him to get this gold. He'd picked it up from the old Spanish mines. And he was coming in with it, and the dog started barking. And the man didn't want to be bothered by that dog. He said, "Shut up." said, tomorrow I'll take this into the city, and the morals of the story was this, and I'll have it weighed up, and I'll be a rich man, and I'll buy great cars, and I'll have all kinds of women and big parties, and I'll be a rich man, because I've already struck the claim, I've got the gold here, much of it, and said, and while he was trying to go to sleep, the dog kept barking, because the dog seen the outlaw coming up, slipping up, waiting for the prospector to go to sleep. He raised up again and screamed at the dog again, said, shut up! And the poor dog whined and tried to warn his master. The danger was lurking. And when the next time when the dog started barking, the prospector had a shotgun. He didn't want to be bothered, so he just raised up and shot the dog. And the prospector was killed that night by the outlaw. All of his fancy dreams done him no good. Why? He stilled the voice that was warning him. There's nobody can try to do anything. You kids would never be able to do anything wrong after being raised the way you are unless you feel something tell you not to do it. I don't. Never still that voice that's warning you. And always remember, accept that voice that said, follow me. And you'll always come out right. I believe you will. I got confidence in you. But just always remember, and Jesus, that voice is alive in the earth tonight. Just the same as every voice, every word we spoke is still alive. When that voice goes out on that ether wave of the air, you got a transmitter here that sends it out. You are the transmitter that sends it out. Now it takes a station to pick it up. And Jesus was a transmitter of God's Word. For He was the triunity of God manifested in one man. He was complete God and complete man. And the Trinity of God, the Trinity of the attributes of God as being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was represented in that one man, Jesus Christ. So there He was, the Word. And He was the transmitter that said, he that heareth my words and believeth on Him that sent me has eternal life. See? Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life. Now that words went out from a transmitter. He said one day, verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you can have what you said. Now, if you can just be the station to pick that up by some control inside of you by faith, it'll move you right into the cycle of God to the new birth and be born again. Then you'll always be in contact to hear that voice. They'll always warn you when danger's along, when things are wrong, going wrong. It'll always be a warning to you. And then instead of someday being like that rich young boy that we're speaking of, be a man like Apostle Peter, Paul, or somebody that won souls for Jesus Christ. You do that, kids. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, youth, men and women for tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow, we must train them, Lord. We feel that burden to train them like there will be a tomorrow. If there is not, then today is the day. And then, Father, we know that no one is accepted in your sight. No flesh can glory. No education, although as good as these things may be, no good works, no religious institution, no psychology, no nothing can confirm God but the Holy Spirit. He's the instrument, God Himself, in the form of eternal life that can come to us as an individual. We're thankful for this. Truly is expressed when Peter made the confession. Jesus said to him, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You never learned it in a seminary. You never learned it in some school. It's a personal thing, something that each individual has to receive. He said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to overcome it. We're thankful for that, Lord. That voice is still alive tonight. And there are still posts, outposts, listening posts, receiving stations of faith that can accept it. We pray that each one of these children will receive that, Lord, in their hearts. And remember that not what they do to be good, but they, God does not judge us by what we do, but by what we have accepted. We are saved by our faith and not in our works. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that they'll catch the vision now and see and hear that great eternal invitation of come, follow me. May each one of them, Lord, turn aside from all the things of the world, this mortal, fringy life, as they hear tonight in their golden blonde hair, and some of them with their black hair and dark eyes and blue eyes, and sitting in their very best of as they'll ever be. And as a great writer said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not nigh, then thou shalt have no pleasure in them. How, Lord Jesus, you said to Peter, when you were young, you got up and went where you wanted to, but when you get old, someone packs you where you would not go. Let them remember, now is the day. This is the time. Granted, Father, I claim every one of them. From my own child here tonight to every child in here, I feel that you've put in my hands to watch them. I claim them all from Satan and from death to life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless you, kiddies. Really nice to say a few words to you, and I'll get back along with Billy. Fine kid. Appreciate you. But the Lord bless you. God bless you.
Amen. You appreciate that this morning. The greatest invitation that anybody could have to come and follow Jesus. And each one of us, that invitation is still before us this morning to follow him. What a blessed people that we are to be followers of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing this together this morning. I'm following Jesus. One step at a time. I live for the moment in His love divine. Why think of tomorrow? Just stand and sing it this morning. Oh, I'm following Jesus, one step at a time. I live for the moment in His love divine. Why think of for today.
Oh, where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? Who do I turn to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock, I know he's able. I go to the rock, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. Unto the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Oh, when the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, where can I hide till these storms have all passed over? Who do I run to when all the winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge in these times of tribulation? When my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. Unto the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Where the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go.
Sing this together. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Oh, hide me over in the rock of ages.
If you need a book,
oh, the judgment day is coming. Oh, what an awful day 'twill be, and Christ forever. At the sounding judges clap for me, and poor lost sinners, they will be crying for that home they'll never see. But the ransom, they will be singing, O Rock of Ages, they're clap for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Just hide me over in the rock of...
Brother Aaron, would you come and dismiss us? Rock, Brother Aaron.
Just clap for me.
Amen. Gonna have Brother Aaron dismiss us in prayer. God bless you. Remember the service this evening at 6:30.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come and worship in your name, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful words of life that have spilled through the lips of your prophet, Lord. May they live on forever, Lord, and in our hearts. We ask that you please walk with us and guide us as we go home, Lord, wherever we choose to fellowship. Please help us as we return here to return safely, Lord, and with you in mind, Lord, so we may yield to whatever you have to give us. Thank you for this wonderful fellowship we've had, Lord, and we ask that you please guide those who are going home and who aren't going to return to fellowship with us today, Lord. May the word be kept in their hearts, no matter how long before we meet again. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. Let's sing this as we're dismissed.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. There'll be no more dying there, we are going to see the King. There'll be no more dying there, we are going to see the King. There'll be no more dying there, we are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. There'll be no